Okay, Rabbi Yisai, where today's daf is daf Lamed Beis, the final daf in the Masechtas Megillah, and we're holding Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. One more. It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's okay. We're still on good terms. Anyway, five lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Gemara brings a braisa. Good. We are now talking about the mitzvah of laming every single Monday and Thursday and mincha on Shabbos. As we all know, Mietzshem, this coming Shabbos, for instance, we're going to be laning Parshas Beshalach. After Beshalach, in most good Chumashim, comes Parshas Yisrael. So, Mietzshem and Mincha on Shabbos, we're going to start laning from the beginning of Yisrael. Usually the three aliyahs end up, when you finish the third aliyah at Shabbos Mincha, you usually end up at Sheni. Not always, depending on how long the Parsha is. So let's talk about this week. Let's assume we're going to end until Sheni. So as we'll see now in the Gemara, our minhag, of course, is that in Mi'at Hashem, next Monday we're going to lane the same from the beginning of Yisrael until roughly Sheni, and the same thing on Thursday, and Mi'at Hashem, next Shabbos, we'll start again from the beginning. However, according to Rameyer, that's not what we're supposed to do. Rather, you get credit for whatever you lane partially until you get to the Parsha. Partially for the Parsha. Meaning that Mi'at Hashem, this mincha we're going to lay, let's assume, from beginning of Yisrael to, let's say, Sheni. When it gets next Monday, we start from Sheni, wherever you left off on mincha, on Shabbos, and you continue on the marshal till Shlishi. And then on Thursday, you'll continue to Revi. And then next Shabbos, you'll start from Chamishi. In other words, you give credit for what you lained. You don't repeat the laying. You just continue on from wherever you left off. That, of course, is not our custom. It's Tanurban. Wherever you finished off Shabbos in the morning, meaning at the conclusion of the Parsha, then you start from there, a brand new Parsha at Mincha time. Wherever you finish off the Mincha, then you continue on Monday morning. B'sheni, wherever you finish off on Sheni, Shem Karin B'chamishi. Then you continue on Thursday. B'chamishi, we ever finish off on Thursday, Shem Karin B'Shabbos Abba. Divrei Meir. According to Meir, therefore, each time Shabbos morning, you're not laying more than approximately half of the Parsha, because about half the Parsha you've already laid, and Mincha Mondays and Thursday. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, no. Sure, that everybody agrees to. You start Mincha from the new Parsha. And Ubesheni, you start from the new Parsha on Monday. Ubechamishi, and on Thursday. Ubeshabbos Abban, you start from Shabbos, the next Shabbos as well. So you repeat, if you will, the beginning of Parshas Yisrael four times. Mincha, Monday, Thursday, and then you lay in again next Shabbos. Omreb Zeir, Halacha, what is the Halacha? Mokim shemafsikin b'Shabbos Shachris, wherever you finished off the parasha Shabbos in the morning, shem karin b'mincha, u b'sheni, u b'chamishi, u b'Shabbos haba. Now you note that Reb Zeira is really repeating word for word what Reb Yehuda just said. It would have much simpler to say, Om Reb Zeira, halacha k'Reb Yehuda. And that's the Gemara's kasha. V'leim halacha k'Reb Yehuda. That what? That you keep on repeating the same portion four times, mincha, Monday, Thursday, and next Shabbos. Every Gemara, you're right, amishim da'apchilu, in certain yeshivas, certain talmidim, would be mahapach the two mandiyomim. Instead of saying that the first Tana in the Braisa was Reb Meir and the second was Reb Yehuda, some had the Girsa just the opposite, that it's Reb Yehuda that said that you get credit for each one of the lanings until Shabbos, while Reb Meir is the one that you say start from the beginning again and again and again, so that there should not be confusion as to how the halach is. Therefore he repeats word for word like Reb Yehuda said, Mokshav Shiva Shabbos. He'd say the same thing, Mincha Sheni B'chamishi L'Shabbos Abba, just like our Girsa of Reb Yehuda. Now, since we had that, the Gemara is going to have a very similar Gemara now. Tanu Rabbanan, Poiseach V'Roye Goylel U'Mevarech, V'Choyzer U'Poiseach V'Koyrei Divrei Reb Meir. Now, what does that mean? A person gets an aliyah. The first thing he's supposed to do is open up the Sefer Torah to make sure that it's on the right place. and that when the Balkori is going to begin, he should start from that Omud. So don't go and make a bracha and then open it up and realize, uh-oh, it's the previous parsha, or it's the next parsha, or it's the wrong page, so to speak. So Pesach V'Roya, you open it up, you look inside, you identify where you're going to lane from, then Golel, then close up the Sefer, Umavarach, make the bracha, V'choizu Pesach, and then open it up again, V'korei, and then you start reading Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's not necessary to have that elaborate opening, closing, opening, but rather Pesach V'Roya, open up the Sefer Torah. You see what's going on, you see where you're supposed to lane from. Umavarech, you don't have to close the Sefer, but rather make the bracha now, the Koirei, and then the Balkorei or the Ole can start reading. So Kum Tuchoy Sekunet Rabbi Yehuda, you save some time, if you will. You don't have to close it up, make a bracha and open it again, but after you open it the first time, leave it open, make your bracha, and start reading. Pray tomorrow, my time, and there may, why does it may require that you close it? The one that is the Balkore, he should not help the Meturgeman translate the words. Each one has their own job. The Balkore should read his psukim, the Meturgeman should read his translation, but no double dipping. The Balkore shouldn't help out the Meturgeman. You know why? The people are going to go and say that maybe the Targum that is being recited by the Meturgeman is in the Torah itself. And that's why the Balkore, just like he was reading until now the Hebrew, the Chumash, he's now also reading the Targum. Because of that concern, says Rabbi, people shouldn't go and say, he left the Sefer Torah open, he's making the brachas, maybe the brachas are printed in the Sefer Torah together with the rest of the Kriya Satay. So we shouldn't have that mistake. Go and close up the Torah.
Some people close their eyes also.
We're not finished yet. Rabbi Yehuda Targum Ika says, Rabbi Yehuda Targum Ikalimiti, when it comes to Targum, people can make the mistake and think that the Targum is written in the Torah. But Baruchas Likalimiti, when it comes to the Baruch, people are not going to make that mistake. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't explain why Targum you're more likely to make a mistake rather than Baruchas. And Rashi doesn't help us either. Rashi just says on the second line from the top, Ikalimiti. The Oimer people are going to say the Targum Kosev B'Torah. The Osulam Michtav Targum B'Torah. Not only will people think that the Targum is written in the Torah, the next Sofer who's going to write the next Sefer Torah will say, let's write the Targum into the Torah. Everybody anyway thinks that it's written there, so I might as well just put it in. It'll be easier for the Balkore and for the Targum. But of course, that's improper. Avo Brachas HaKol Yoidin Shein Brachas K'sum B'Torah. How do people know more about the brachas than they know about the Targum? What's manishtana? So I saw one shot is because the Targum is much lengthier than the bracha. And therefore, people are going to say, you know, it's not like today that everything is pre-printed and everybody has copies and chumashim and sidurim and machzoirim and benchalach and etc. So the Meturgamin might very well have been Metargim Balpeh. And therefore, if he's being Metargim Balpeh, and we see the Balkore is helping him out, people think, wow, that long Targum of this long Pasuk is saying by heart, come on, you know, that Meturgim is not so brilliant, he's not such a rocket scientist that he knows the whole Targum by heart. Probably because some or all of it is written in the Torah, and that's where he's reading it from. Look, the Balkore is also reading it from there. But when it comes to the Brachas, everybody knows the Brachas more or less. After all, the Brachas are only talking about the same Bracha, the same bracha lefaneh, the same bracha liachareh, everybody does it all the time. So presumably people won't automatically assume that it's written in the Torah. The people, you know, bal peh. After all, many people say lots of the tefillahs bal peh, whether it's Krishma or the Shemoneh Esrei. So people don't have to be a rocket scientist to remember the two brachas. They won't automatically assume that it's written in the Torah. It could be another reason, and that is that each Pasuk and each Targum, of course, is different. Each time you're translating a Pasuk, there's a different Targum. To go and assume that each time a person gets an Aliyah LaTorah, that his brachas are written lefaneh uleachreh, that means throughout the Torah you have chvais 500 times, 7 times at least every 50 parshas, 350 times, you have always the brachas inside. People are unlikely to assume and to jump to conclusions that the brachas are written in the Torah. Anyway, so bottom line is, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the reason why you can leave the Torah open when you're making the bracha. So now, How do we paskin? Are you supposed to go and close it up and make the bracha, or do you leave it open and make the bracha? Amrav Zeir, Amrav Masna Locha, Poiseach V'roya U'mavorech V'korei. Just like Rabbi Yehuda said, you open it up, you see where you're learning from, make the bracha. Continue reading from there. You don't have to worry about people thinking that the brachas are written in the Torah. And again, the Gemara asks the same kasha. No, that's word for word that what Rabbi Yehuda said. V'leim aloha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Let's just say, aloha like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Meir, and the same teretz again. Mishum de'apchiluhu, because in certain yeshivas, in certain batei midrashim, they were quoting Rabbi Meir as if he was Rabbi Yehuda. They were quoting Rabbi Yehuda's aloha as if it's Rabbi Meir. So there shouldn't be any confusion. He tells you exactly what you're supposed to do. Like Rabbi Yehuda of our Braisa, Pesach V'roya, Umavorech V'korei. No, what's the halacha l'maisa? So many of you will be surprised to learn that the Mechaber and the Ramah paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you leave the Sefer Torah open when you make the bracha. Really, that's what you do? That's what it says in the Gemara, that Hilchasa k'Rabbi Yehuda. And that's how the Rambam paskins, and that's how the Mechaber paskins, and the Ramah paskins. The Ramah adds, so that people, to avoid the question of people thinking that the brachas are written in the Torah, when you make the bracha, don't look directly into the Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but go and have your face in the other direction, as if you are showing, I'm not reading it from the Torah. In other words, the person is standing there by the person that was called up, and when he makes the bracha, he should have his head tilted in the other direction. As we state in Ramah. However, other poskim say that it's a little bit, it's almost offensive. The Torah is right in front of you and you're avoiding contact, avoiding eye contact. What's going on? Anyway, what about the meaning of so many people in many communities that we fear Zachlai Karmeir, that they close up the Sefer Torah and they make the bruch and we open it again? So that is in accordance with the Toisis over here. The Toisis, the second Toisis from the top, if you go towards the end of the Toisis, you'll see there's a beis right before Ula Chatchila.
Yes.
That beis is from the Bach. And we can go and take the beis and go straight to the Bach. And the Bach is all the way on the bottom of the Amid, all the way in the bottom, at least in my Gemara. Zok the Bach, Ula Chatchila hu goyloi, all the way in the bottom. You have the...
No, art scroll's on the side.
It's on the side, I'm sorry. For those that have art scroll, it's on the side. Good. Anyway, it's Oz beis, Nirshim Betzidoi. Afal Gav, Daloch Krib Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? The Lashon of our Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda says, Paiseach V'roya, U'mavarech V'korei. Says the Bach, Avagav V'loch Rabbi Yehuda, She'ena mechuyev le'goy l'loy koydem ha'bracha. What he's saying is, you're not required to go and close the Sefer. Ha'ena d'le ovid isur l'haniach es ha'sefer pasuach u'levarech. There's nothing wrong with having the Torah open and making the bracha, because ultimately we're not scared that people will think that the brachas are written in the Torah. But avad, even Rabbi Yehuda holds, says the Bach, according to the Toisis, that lechatchila you should do like Rabbi Meir. You should close up the Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Yehuda says Paseach V'roi, he means b'di'eved. Avlim soisum u'mavarech. Or they say, that's better. Now going back to the Toisis, lechatchila, this is 6-7 lines before the end of the Toisis. The big Toisis here, the number 2, you see about 6-7 lines before the end, there's a beis in the Toisis. Lechatchila hu goy leloi. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are supposed to close it. V'soismoy koydim shi'yivarech kadesh lo yoimru ha'homayn, so that the masses shouldn't say shebroch is k'suvus by. Al b'di'evin e'lochesh she'lo shchichi ami oretz kol kach at. And there aren't that many. There are a couple of amaratim, but so many. Av le'ach shekara boy v'adei terech l'goy leloi koydim shi'yivarech Rabbi Yehuda. So bottom line is, we have a machloikis harishoinim, how we understand Rabbi Yehuda. On the surface, the Rambam learns, and many other Rishonim, that's simple pshat, says Rabbi Yehuda. You get an aliyah, Ya'amayit, Ya'ankel ben Shimon, you get up for your aliyah, Paiseach, you open it up, you see where the brach, you see where the kriya is, where you're going to lay, leave it open, umavarach, make your bracha, the kriya, and start reading. That's the Pashup Shat, and that's the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Tosis learned, as you see, the Bach explains the Tosis, that Rabbi Yehuda Olz L'chatchila do like Rabbi Meir said, go and close up the Sefer. So Shalom Yoimru, people shouldn't go and say. But Pidyevit, if you want to, what you can do is you can leave it open, because there are not that many Amaris. Okay, there are occasionally one or two, but most of the masses know that the Brachas are not written, so you don't have to close it, but you can if you want. In fact, L'chatchila, that's what you should do. So the Chavetz Chaim in Bir Halacha on the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's why many Mekoimois, they're not noheg like Remeir to leave the Sefer Torah, they're not noheg like Rabbi Yehuda to leave the Sefer Torah open, but rather they close it. The Gemara says Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, because they learn like the Tosis does, like the Bach does, that all Rabbi Yehuda is saying is B'diavad, this is kosher, you don't have to go and close it. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that L'chatchila one should close it. Concludes the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, the Nara Upashte, which means that in every community they have their Minhagim, and each one of these Minhagim is Kaddish V'tor. So either way that you do it, whether you make the Bracha when the Torah is open, or you make it when the Torah is closed, you have someone great that you can rely on, either relying on the Rambam, the way he's learning in the Gemara, or you're relying like the Tosis learns. So whatever you do, it's kusha v'yusha.
It's strange that a chachil b'di'evid distinction would not be articulated in the Gemara. It'd be articulated through Mount Omrim and not identified.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit forced to say this is a chachil b'di'evid when the Gemara often will say l'chatchila b'di'evet.
Okay.
I mean, it's surprising to me.
We are forced to learn like the Tosis, because that's what the Tosis says. So you and I, we wouldn't be able to go and force pshatim, but Rishon could say.
It makes sense it's b'di'evet, because if it wasn't, mm-hmm. you'd have a bracha l'batala, you would have someone saying a bracha,
mm-hmm.
and you really can't have that.
Okay, anyway, so bottom line is it's a machlaikis l'halacha, and it's not a machlaikis. Different minhagim, different strokes for different folks. Yes.
It's an issue if you don't have the right place open,
mm-hmm.
to make the bracha.
That's very problematic.
Yep.
100%.
And some say you have to make a bracha over again.
If, you know, that is a major issue.
You bring it down here, I'm surprised.
Because we can't go and learn everything in one day, but what you're saying is correct. What Brother Shai is telling us is that the reason why you're supposed to open the Sefer and look inside before you make the bracha, because it's also brought la'alacha, that if you open up the Sefer, the Baal Koreh accidentally showed you the wrong omud, you made a bracha, you open it up, and then you say, uh-oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it was the other omud. If you didn't see the omud at the time that you looked in the Sefer, in other words, sometimes when they open the Sefer, there's a big bima, and he opens up three amudim, so although he pointed to this amud, it's really this one, but it was in front of you when you opened it up, and you made your bracha. However, if in fact you could not see that amud, then the ola is supposed to make a brand new bracha when he opens it up, because he was making a bracha on the amudim that he saw. But we're not learning from there. If you're learning from a little bit further on, we once had that here in our shul. It was very embarrassing for the Baal Koreh. I.e., that was me. That it was two parshias, Bar B'chu Kaisa, usually Bar B'chu Kaisa go together. That year they went separately. Anyway, I pointed to the person to parshias Bahar. He made the bracha. And then as I start reading it, we were laying Bahar on Shabbos. This is now B'chu Kaisa. What are we going to do? So I didn't want him to have to make a bracha l'vatala. We quickly learned the whole parshias Bahar in about 3 minutes, and we went into B'chu Kaisa and continued. Wow. Bahar is a relatively short parsha. So we learned it quickly. Some people, because had tannas, because you always have people that have tannas, but most of the people were smiling, and they thought, that's a good way, we don't force the person to make a bracha l'batala.
Did they ask you, Mayin in Bahari, so...
Eitzel B'chu Kaisa, yeah, exactly. Eitzel Har Sinai. Very good, Brother Shai. So, Zogdi Mora Baita, V'dim Alok, Yudim Mishim Da'apchidu. Okay, we continue on. Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Masna. Then why do we have Rav Zeira Omer Rav Masna? Because we just had it 2 lines ago. He was the one that said Halacha Pitzei Ajarayat. Exactly. Omer Rav Zeira Omer Rav Masna. Haluchis v'abimois ein behem mishum kedusha. A luach and a bima doesn't have kedusha. Now, what is the definition of luach in this connection? Not only do we struggle with it, even the Heilige Rashi said on the 4th line, luchais liyadati mahen. I don't know what we are referring to. However, the Yesh Mefarshim heinu asuyin lisforim shalonu she'enin asuyin kigilgai. What Rashi means to say is that already in his time they didn't have printing presses like we have today, but when they would write it out longhand with manuscripts, they didn't go and do it on
Sirtut.
well, beside the sitter. They didn't go and write it on long Torah scrolls that you have to go and roll and roll and roll, but similar to our books today, or our svarim today, they'd wrote it out on pieces of paper, and then they would go and collect all the pieces of paper together, and they would put some glue on the margin, and then they would add on top of it a board, like a cover, and at the bottom a board, a cover, and of course you have the spine. So that U-shaped board on top and on the bottom, and that spine, all of that is what the Gemara is referring to as the luchais. That's what Rashi means. Heino asuyim l'svarim shalar. The top Toises learns a different pshat. He brings from the Aruch. You see all the way in the top. Gilyoyne sefer Torah shalamala v'shalamata v'shalbein daf l'daf. The margins of the sefer Torah, not where anything is written, but on top and on the bottom, and in between each daf. Each daf means each omud where there is writing. In the empty space that doesn't have kedusha, Toys says v'kasha, the parakol kisvei says avad, the tam siyadayim, the yeshloimer, hasem yeshloimer, ratzoloimer calls manchi muchubarim b'sefer Torah. Ah, avad, if the sefer Torah is being read and being leaned from, and it's an active sefer Torah, and it's mechuber to the sefer Torah, then avad has kedusha. V'achamayreicha, the guy is it's talking about that you cut it off from the sefer Torah. Vakati kasha rihasim yiboylan hecha de geizer iyesh ben kedushi lav v'maylei pashat lemeyacha. The Gemara asks, what happens if you cut off the margins on top and on bottom? What's the din then? Do they have kedusha? Not. We can be pushed from our Gemara that ain behan mishum kedusha. So others, in fact, learn. I think it's Rabbeinu Chananu that the only time that we say that luchos don't have is if they already boldly. See, if you see the Rabbeinu Chananu here in the left hand margin, go down about 8 or 9 or 10 lines. Amishmul haluchos v'abimais pirush hachelik shel malav shel matav shel ben adafim shel sefer Torah imi shem kedusha kloimar in yivla. You might say yichla, but in yivla means if it becomes boldly, if it wears out v'yigonez v'yachta hacholak or hachelik shem. So Tois is asked, the Gemara elsewhere asked him Sechta Shabbos, and if you go and cut off the margins of the Sefer Torah, does it have Kedusha? Not. Our Gemara says, Aluchai Sein Ben Mishim Kedusha. Says Rabbeinu Chananu, it's Nishver. That's talking about if it's still a nice piece of parchment on a nice Sefer Torah, which is still in use. You cut off the margins, Shaila, does it have Kedusha or not? He was talking about the Sefer Torah, is it a Bola? Bola means that it's worn out. You can no longer see any of the letters or many of the letters because over time some of the letters have jumped off or they've worn out. And so therefore it's no longer a kosher Sefer Torah to read from. And now you cut off the margins. That argument says, Ein behem mishem kedusha. So that's the Rashi and the Tosin ben Chananu. Others still learn that haluchais is similar to the word bimais. What is the bima? Well, we know what a normal bima is. Here Rashi says, bima, show you oisim la melech beparshis hamelech. That means beparshis hakel, that they used to go and lay once a year on the first day chalamoid of Sukkis, right after the Shnas HaShemitah. We might have that mitzvah Mirat Hashem this year after the Shemitah year ends. Halavai, we should have a melech, Nishalein, Hakel, in the Beis HaMikdash. So they built a big platform for him to stand on so everybody would hear the laning. So some say the luchais is similar to that. It means in a shul where you have either the Rav who darshins or the Baal Tefillah that's davening, even though the Baal Tefillah is usually mimambakim, but some places might have a platform so you can hear the Baal Tefillah or you can hear the Rav darshin. So therefore they say that luchais is similar to bimais, that it's also such a platform, but not a platform for Parshas HaMelech, a platform in a shul for other purposes. Anyway, sending more in behem b'shem kedusha. You'll notice here the word kedusha has an asterisk. And you look on the side, kirsus harosh. It doesn't have kedushas oroin v'yesh ben kedushas pesach nesis. In other words, it doesn't have the first level of triple A kedusha like an arna kodesh, but it does have some kedusha like the kedusha of a shul. Especially if you're using, if you are using a luach or a bima to go and read the Torah from, like the melech, or for the Rav Tadarshan, or the Baal Tefillah Tadavin. So it's all part of the Kedusha's base Akhenesis, but it doesn't rise to the level like a Kedusha's or a Kodesh or something similar.
So if you sold a Luach or a Bima, you'd be able to buy a Sefer Torah with it.
As opposed to going back to the Mishnah earlier.
Right. The hierarchy of Kedusha.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, the Mishnah also talks about selling a Shul. Right. So it's talking about the Kedusha's base Akhenesis. So it could be these Luchas and Bimais, they have Kedusha's base Akhenesis. They might be on the same level. just like whenever you can sell a shul for, maybe you can sell this one. For instance, we said you can go and sell a shul to go in for a mantle, or after that for a nach, the bima ksuvim, and after that for a toira. So maybe the same thing applies here.
The Gemara said that the bima has kedusha of a tashmish kodesh. We had that.
So we said in Gemara that one of the mandiyamim thought that a bima doesn't have any kedusha because you never put the sefer toira
directly on.
Directly, you've always put first a cover, a mantle, or something. But says Yimar, but once in a while I saw that they did lay directly from the bima because they had sent out the paroiches or the cover to be cleaned or whatever it was, and so therefore they did use it occasionally. So it did have kedusha. That was Yimar before Yeshikoya for reminding us.
So
thank you, Brother Shah.
Talking about where they never did that because otherwise it have tashmishik.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So apparently, 100%. And now we have a series of memories all related to Sefer Torah and to reading. All from Reb Shvatya. I believe there are five separate members from Reb Shvatya, Reb Yochanan. Ha'goylu Sefer Torah Sor Shemidenu Al Hatfar. This is a very important halacha that many people are not familiar with. And that is when they do Hag B'Glila, when you are rolling the scroll and you're putting the two Atzi Chaim together, you should have down the middle should be the Tfar, that should be the seam where the two pieces of cloth come together. Why is that so important? So Rashi says that the reason is, about 8 lines from the top, for very practical reasons, when you go and tighten it, there it tightens well because that's the seam, and therefore you can see how the sinews, how the stitches are holding in place nicely, and you close it there. That's the proper place.
I don't know, maybe that's practically when you have the seam on the side, it doesn't maybe close as nicely when you have it because you have that little.
So that's why I said this in Lahat Kiyof, it closes nicer.
It closes nicer.
Good. The Ran or the Rif says another practical reason. He said because if Chas V'Sholem, the Sefer Torah, people are holding it inappropriately and people are pulling it. This, by the way, can happen on Simchas Torah when people act a little bit in a rowdy fashion. They have to be careful. Then Chas V'Sholem, what happens if the Sefer Torah were to fall or one person takes the Sefer from the other? Then Chas V'Sholem could go and tear. So therefore, it's better if it Chas V'Sholem tears, should tear on the seam because you can always stitch it up later on. However, if you have the regular parchment cloth there, the cloth in the middle of the Sefer Torah, if
that's
it,
a major problem.
Chas V'Sholem, it could tear. It would be a major problem, as you say. Anyway, so you should be mamad al hatvar. The Amr of Shvatya, Amr of Yechana. Hagolel Sefer Torah, goylei mibachutz ve'in goylei mibefnim. The person who's goylel should do it from the out and not from the in. What does that mean? Okay, so you have to try to picture this in your mind. We're talking about that there's only one individual that's doing the Hag B'Galila together, not two individuals. To be able to be goylel it, for some reason the bima was occupied or wasn't there, he's doing it on his lap. So what he's doing is he has both Atzi Chaim, both rollers, if you will, on his lap. When he's goylel it, what he should do is he should be goylel mibachutz, go and take the outer one, the one that's closer to his knees, and be goylel towards himself.
So he doesn't drop it.
But don't do it the other way around. Don't go and be goylel the one that's close to your waist, and then be goylel it towards the one on the knees, because Chas V'Sholem, if you're not careful, then that Atzi Chaim might just fall off. It falls off.
Shabbos,
the roof, and fell off the roof. Exactly. Can I in the heart of the Oilam remembers? It's beautiful. Givaldi. Anyway, so you should be very careful. So go and be goylel mibachutz, take the outer roller and roll it towards yourself. Then goylel mafnim, but don't take the inner roller and roll it outwards because Chas V'Sholem, it could fall down. It would be tzuris. Ukishima hadka. Well, now he is tightening it. In other words, both sides of the rollers, Baruch Hashem, we're ready in place. And now we want to go and tighten it. Now we should do the other way around. Mahadkim b'mefnim, bein mahadkim b'mechutz. He should tighten it from the inside and not from the outer roller. In other words, we don't have to worry about it falling over because neither of the two is near the knees. They're both much closer to his waist. But, and because of that, go and be mahadik. When you tighten it from the inner rather than from the outer. What's the reason why? Says Rashi, because at the time of Hag B'Galila, we want everybody to be able to look into the ksav, be able to see the writing on the Sefer Torah. And therefore, if he's going to go when the Sefer Torah is still partially open, he's going to be golel it mibachutz, towards mibefnim, his hands or his arms are going to be stretched out over the parchment, over the cloth.
Obscure.
And he's going to obscure the ksav, and nobody will be able to see the ksav. You see Rashi in the middle, kishu mahadkoi, almost halfway down, kishu mahadkoi, kishu gomar, when he's finished doing all the rolling back and forth, now he wants to tighten it. So that when he's now tightening it, he doesn't cover over and obscure the ksav with his arms. And that's why the custom is that the person who gets the hagba should go and show the ksav in all directions. And those that do hagba and immediately go and close it up, that is inappropriate. In Eretz Yisrael, in a lot of places, the person who gets hagba, he makes a full 360 degree turn around and around, so that anybody in every direction should be able to look at the ksav. Anyway, so getting back to the Omer Rav Shvatya Omer Rav Yochanan. Asora shekoru b'Torah, 10 people that read from the Torah, hagodol shebehem golel sefer Torah. Now, on the surface, it sounds like they were 10 aliyos. That is, of course, a very rare situation. Well, not in some shuls, but most of the time, you have 3 aliyos during the week, and 4 on Rosh Chodesh, and Chol HaMoed, and 5 on Yom Tov, and etc., etc. How do you get to 10? After all, the maximum in Shabbos is 7. Mit Mafter is 8. So the way Rashi learns Pshat and Gemara is, it doesn't mean that 10 that read from a sefer Torah means that there was a minion in shul that allowed us to go and learn from a sefer Torah. Because we learned before in a Mishnah that you can't go and be koyder b'Torah unless you have asor, you have to have a minion. So the asor means that you had 10 people in shul, and therefore you were able to be koyder b'Torah. What do you do now? The kibud of the Galila is considered to be the preeminent, the biggest kibud, and that's the one that you should go and be mechabed. Now the difference between the two pshatim that we just learned is that those that learn it literally, that asar shekoru b'Torah, 10 people that read from the Torah, it means one of the olim also gets the kibud of the glila. Of course, we're talking about gadol shebehem, the gadol of one of those that got the aliyah. But the way Rashi is learning pshat, that means 10 people in shul. So then the gadol shebehem means any one of the people in shul. It doesn't have to be the person who got an aliyah, and presumably you'd give it to somebody else to go and share the wealth of the kibbutim. But what Rav Shvatya is telling us is two very important things. Number one, we're saying is that Galila is a very important kibbut. So important, says the Gemara, that you're mechabed the godel. You don't mechabed just any Tom, Dick, or Harry, but a chosh of a yid, you go and give Galila. And not only that, says Rav Shvatya Rav Yochanan, ha-goyloi noitel schar kula, the one that gets that galila, he takes the schar of everybody that leaned until now. A difficult concept. Let's see, Yom Rav Shubin Levi, asar shekar v'toyra, ha-goyloi se v'toyra, kibu schar kula. Anyone says schar kula, so kadaitach, you mean the koyin and the levi, and the shlish and revi, all of their schar is being usurped and taken away by the person who does the galila. Does that make sense? Ele'ema kibu schar, k'neged kulan. He gets the same amount of schar as everybody else there in shul. Everybody else gets their schar for going up to the Torah, making the brachas, laning or listening to the laning of the Balkore. The person who does the galila, he gets a schar parallel to all the others together. So now, a couple of things. First of all, even though our Gemara refers to Hagoyloi, the Mishnah Berurah and other poskim say that that's by Yom Mahen. But it's manazeh that we have two different individuals, one that does the Hagba and one does the Glila. It's really the Magbia is the one that gets the Schar Keneged Kulam, because he's the one that opens it up and shows it and closes it. And the Baal Glila is really only an accessory, only an assistant. But the main one is the Hagba. As we state in the poskim. The question is, why is this considered to be such a big kibbutz? In fact, it's ironic, because you remember, a few days ago we had in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that whoever got the haftorah, he had to be appeased, because otherwise he felt it such a shame and humiliation. We had to go and mechabed him, that he should also be the Baal Tefillah, the Chazan, otherwise Osli and Suye. He's going to say, why does Yankel daven fan umid, and I go and get matir? It's not right. And if he's a cotton, then his parents get all upset, and the rabbi. Exactly. So it's the what we consider maftir is considered today to be one of the crown jewels, right? If you ever sell the aliyahs in a shul, usually the shlishim and the shishi and the maftir, those are the ones that command the highest prices. And here we're saying, Nebuchadnezzar, I feel so sorry for him. Nebuchadnezzar, he's stuck with maftir. Let's try to appease him as quickly as possible. Not only give him an extra piece of kugel and a kiddush and some more cholent, but also give him the musaf and etc. And by glila, which today we give for ketanim, we give for anybody, oh, that you give the godel shemakom. So it's interesting. But what's taka, the reason why, and by the way, the Mishnah Berurah, of course, brings this is brought la'alacha, that the godel should have, but the Mishnah Berurah says, ubizmaneinu, in our times, we share the wealth and we mechabit anybody, it doesn't have to be dafke godel, and even ketamim, we're mechabit to go and do the glila. But what's the reason why the Gemara says, milkos char can I get kulam? So the parshat shot is that we've given already all of these rules and regulations. Number one, make sure it's be alatva. Number two, make sure that when you go, you go mibachutz, not mibefnim, and you mharik mibachutz, not mibefnim, and not mibachutz. So there are all types of rules. If this person who does the glida does it properly, and he follows all the rules and regulations that we're talking about, so then he deserves a gracious shkoyach, and that's why we give the gadol shebehem, because he's the Talmud Chacham, he would know, make sure to go and close it out at far and do what you have to do. One second. But other Mefarshim learn that, as you know, in many Sephardic shuls, especially in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, the minig is that they do the Galila or the Hagba Galila before the lighting. That right. Before you start the Koyin, somebody comes up, he opens up the Sefer, he turns all around, everybody sees the Ksav, then he puts it down, and then they start lighting from it. And therefore, that is the one that we're referring to, who's Noitza Schar Kulan. Why does he get so much Schar? The answer is because when he picks it up, he has to go and make sure that it's on the right spot. He's not going to open it up to the wrong parasha. And therefore, as soon as he puts it down and the coin can start laning, since it's already on the right spot, he says, shkoyach for making sure that the Sefer Torah is open on the right spot, so we don't have to repeat the bracha, and we don't have problems and issues. And so therefore, it's that goal that we're referring to, Noitz Chara Kulan. Somebody has a question.
No, I had heard, I don't remember, it was from my master or whatever, because it says in the Torah, Asher lo hakim is a Torah hazos.
Aha. So his hakim, so he picks it up.
So that's why
very good.
Spirit of the scriptural source.
I thought Gadol Shem is the tallest one, that the Gadol, he's the one who picks it up.
Okay.
I like that.
Beautiful. And the Gemara continues on. How do you know that you're allowed to go and listen to a baskar? Now, Rashi points out, even though you're not allowed to listen to nichush, nichush would mean sorcery or superstitions, but if there's a baskar from Shemayim, that you're allowed to go and listen to.
How do you know it's
from that's going to be the Gemara. About to say. Shenem it's in the Pasuk Yishaya. Vaznecha tishmana, tov meacharecha leimar. You hear some sort of statement from back behind you, you turn around and there's nobody around. You hear something. That's like a bas koil, that there's no direct face to face type of communication. You're walking down the street and you hear the meacharecha, psh, psa bas koil. Vahani mili, how taka do you know what's a bas koil and what's your imagination? The shoma kol gavra b'masa, he hears the koil of a man in the city. The kol itse b'dabro, he hears the voice of a woman out in the field. Now, why is that considered to be so unusual? So the second part is easy to understand. The women or the girls will not stand out there in the fields because, as you say, it's dangerous. Chas v'shalom. In fact, when the Pasuk talks about
she didn't scream.
Oynis and Pitoy, that she was basada and nobody heard her scream, etc., etc. So we're talking about that she's basada. So that's unusual. So that would be the baska. What about the kol gavra b'masa? So some say lav dafka. What it means to say is even a kol gavra b'masa. But other learned pshat in the Gemara is that since during the day the men should be working out in the fields and the women should be at home locally, this type of role reversal where men are in the masa, we're in the city. What do you do in the city? You should be out there in the farms, in the fields, working the agriculture. Apparently, didn't have lawyers at that time. Anyway, so the point is that's why it's unusual to hear that kol gavra of the masa, and that's the basko that we're referring to. I now says the Gemara, but there's another limitation. Vuhuda omer hen, vuhuda omer lav lav. It's got to be a situation where there wasn't the whole statement that again a Megillah, but rather, says Rashi, he said hen twice, or he said lav twice, then we know, that's a baskoil. And says Rashi, if you hear that type of baskoil, then ein kan mishum nichush. You don't have to worry about that this is superstition. You got a message from a Shemayim as a baskoil, and you can go and follow it, and it's mutter. So that's what the Minayin Shemishtamshin, don't think you're being over on some sort of Isser of superstition, you're allowed to go and listen to the basko, but it has to be a double hen or a double lav. There's a sefer on Masechet Megillah called the Shita Masechet Megillah, and he brings a beautiful remez from the pasuk. It says the pasuk, I believe it's in Yeshaya, that you shouldn't listen el ha oynanim ve el ha mechashvim or
dov yidoni.
Yeah, but that's even yoni. That's in the chumash. But this pasuk is talking about that el ha oynanim, not oynanim. It says al tanachshu al oynanim, and then it continues on the ata loich ki kol hagoyim eile. They are following the oynanim mechashvim. The ata tval yisrael loichein. Nosin lecha Hashem lekecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give you the oivi yedoini or the menachshim or the oinanim. You're not supposed to go to them. So says this shita the ata loy chayin nosan lecha Hashem lekecha. Real nichus should not let it do. But if he says loy or if he says hein, that's okay. The ata loy chayin omer shem lekecha. That Kadosh Baruch Hu said that's okay. If you do the loy, you hear the loy, or you hear the kain, that's really permissible. Right, the Yomer Shvati, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, call the Koyde Belin Ima. Whoever lanes a Sefer Torah Belin Ima means without the trup. V'shoyin Belay Zimmer, or a person who's learning Chumish, not Chumish, learning Mishnayis or Gemara without a Zimmer, without a sing song. All because of Oyman, Megamim Niz Zatz Lechem Chukim Leitoyvim and Umishpotim LeYichyu Behem. That I gave you Chukim which are not good. In other words, you're not happy with his Chukim, you're not happy with his Mishpotim, and therefore you're not learning, you're not laning with the drop, and you're not learning with a Zimmer. Now, learning laning the Sefer Torah without the trup, I can understand that that's something which is wrong, because the trup is given the Mesoidah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why Ula Bali Kriya, you gotta lean it with the trup. You yoitze, if you don't lean it with the trup, it's not, but yeah, it's Abediyavid, exactly. So I can understand why the Pasuk is, why the Gemara is saying this. But what's the Indian of Shoina B'lei Zimra that you're learning, you have to learn with a song? Well, what type of song? So there's a famous Toysis over here, the second Toysis before the end, but Shoina B'lei Zimra, show you Regilin, Lishnois HaMishnais, when they would go and learn Mishnah, they would do a bezimra with a sing song with that mitanigin. If you show you shoinen oisen al peh, they didn't have printed. Well, this is the first recorded raya that there were no Schottenstein art school gemaras in the times of the Chazal, so that we see that they learned it out bal peh. But al yidei kach in niskar mioisen, it was much easier to go and remember the meim masai kurdish ma bearvin if it was set to a nigan meim masai kurdish ma bearvin, etc. etc.
You should be once Yochanan Boaz in the beginning of Mishnayos Megillah about this.
Good. So there is a Yochanan Boaz in other mafarshim. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but if you tell me it's there, I believe you.
You should.
That why do you have so often throughout Shas, when the Gemara says Chesuri Mechzer Vachitani, that the Mishnah is missing a few words? Why did they lose the words? What happened? The printers, the publishers didn't know how to go and insert the words properly. Why are there only Chesuri Mechzer? Did they specially left out words here and there so the stanzas would fit in nicely with the Nigin? In other words, they had a beautiful Nigin and they sang the whole Mishnah. If you threw in three more words here or there, then you know the Nigin wouldn't stim. So therefore, they told everybody in advance. The real halacha is Reb Yehuda Omer kach v'kach. We're leaving out three or four words so that it should be a beautiful nigun and we'd be able to sing it together. And of course, if Reb Simcha were here at that time, he would have put together a beautiful, beautiful nigun for it, and everybody would be amazed and enchanted by the beautiful singing and musical abilities of Reb Simcha.
If I'm not mistaken, every Seder Mishnayos had its own, like, tool.
A different nigun?
Yeah.
Could be. Right. I don't know. Maybe Reb Simcha knows more about it. Anyway, okay, so let's continue on. Because of the fact that a person cannot sing, he can't hold a tune. That's the continuation of the pasuk. So it sounds like Chas V'Shalom, if you don't accept laning or learning with a nigin, Chas V'Shalom L'Yichyu V'Hem, it sounds, you know, pretty egregious. Frank Dimar, it's so terrible. So the Gemara says, I'm going to interpret the Pasuk now differently. And the Pasuk is talking about you have two Tamidachim that live together in the same city. And there is a brand new Shaila on the board. And everybody's asking, is it kosher, is it not kosher, is it permissible, is it not permissible, what should we do? So, since it's a brand new Shaila, you would think that the two Talmid Chacham should get together, and they should go and discuss it, back and forth. Kedarka Shol Torah. But unfortunately, the two don't see eye to eye, and they do not get together. And because of that, you might get two different psakim. He says it's mutter, he says it's aser, etc. Aleim Akos V'Oimer, about that it says, V'gamani Nasati Lechem Chukim, I gave them brand new laws, meaning, learning. A choik, as you know, is like paraduma, something that you don't really understand and you don't know. And now I have a brand new shayla that's come up now. What do I do? So it would be good for the two Talmidei Chacham to get together and come out with unanimous psak or try to work it out. Loi toivim. But if unfortunately the two are not on good terms and they're not sitting together, what Chas Hashem can result is mishpatum yechiyum behem. The people are going to get punished for doing the wrong thing because the rabbis cannot get together with a good psak that everybody can live with and that can understand. Amre Parnach, Amre Byoichan. So we just had now the five members of Rav Shvat Amir Byoichanan, and we continue on. Amre Parnach, Amre Byoichanan, Kol Oichan Sefer Torah Orem. Whoever is holding on to the Sefer Torah, when the Sefer Torah is Orem, meaning it's not covered with a mantle, a person is holding on to the cloth of the Sefer Torah with his hands. Nikba Orem, that's considered to be such a bad thing that this individual who did that, we don't bury him la'achar mei ve'esrim in tachrichim, in shroud, but we just put him into the ground without any clothes. Freitimar, Arim, so kadai, come on. Just because he touched the cloth of the Sefer Torah one time without the mentula, without the gartel, for that the person goes and gets buried. Arim, that doesn't sound right. Ela'im and nikba arim b'lei mitzvahs. We take all the mitzvahs that he did from the time that he was 1 year old until 120, and he doesn't get the schar of any of those. That also sounds very, very
extreme.
He doesn't get that mitzvah because he held on to the Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah was not properly clothed. In other words, he held on to the cloth. So he loses that mitzvah. And the Toises asked the obvious question. Look at the last Toises. Yesh Mefarsh Mitzvah Sachiza. Apparently he was asked, like Mashal, to do Hagbar Galila, and we're saying he doesn't get that mitzvah. And of course, if he didn't do it, then of course he doesn't get that mitzvah. The person, on the last day of his life, we asked him for an adava to give tzedakah, and he said, no, I refuse, I'm not going to. Okay? And then he died. He's not going to get the mitzvah tzedakah for that day. You know why?
He didn't
give it a tzedakah. Right. So, of course, Orem B'loi Oysa Mitzvah. Therefore, says Toys, V'kasha, Mayer Abusa, P'shita, Shein Leitzchah, Kim Shloi Oysa Mitzvah, Koi, he didn't do what he's supposed to do. V'kach P'yir Shriva, B'loi Oysa Mitzvah, She'osa Bi Oysa Shah, if he was doing another mitzvah at that time. Let's say he was the Bal Koreh, or the Ole, and he's reading from the Sefer, and he's holding on to the cloth, he doesn't get the mitzvah of having been Koreh Batreh. Same with Scham and Akriah. Maybe he's holding it to do the Glila, or he's being Magia, he happens to be a Sofer, and he's holding on to the cloth in the Sefer Torah, he doesn't get the mitzvah of the Glila, or the Hagot. I will also be Mepachas. So this wants to end off on a good note. If you held it properly, you're holding it with a mitpachas, that is, with the Sefer Torah mentula, or with the gartel, etc., that person will live a long life.
Is the problem here is because of the Zera, that he shouldn't be.
You're talking about whether it's Matamas Yedayim.
Right. So the issue, because Matamas Yedayim, or it's a matter of Kavod.
No, which is, you're bringing up a very, very good point. Is it also because Matamas Yedayim? And the problem is because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos is the Chayyur talking about all Kisviya Kodesh. People go and hold on to the Megillah whilst they're laying. Is that proper? You're allowed to. Nobody holds on to Mantle. You hold on to the Megillah itself. Anyway, that's fertile ground for all the Mefarshim and all the Poskim. If you have the art scroll, it gives you a whole bunch of references where you can look that up and just go into much more detail. Finishing off the Gemara, Rabbi Yanai, Berei, Rabbi Yanai. Oh, so you have now three Rabbi Yanais here. Rabbi Yanai, Berei der Biyanai Saba, Mishmei der Biyanai Rabba.
Wow.
What did he say? Motiv Tigola Mitpachas La Yigala Sefer Torah. When you're doing the Glila Sefer Torah, make sure that you do the Mitpachas around the Sefer and not the Sefer in the Mitpachas. What I think what the Gemara is referring to, if those of you that are familiar with the German minig of the Wimpel, the Wimpel, yes, is not just your regular
Gartel,
but you have such a long, long piece of material. So how did they do it? So of course they wind it around the Sefer Torah 5 or 10 or 20 times, whatever the length of the Wimpel is. But theoretically you could do another way. Take the Wimpel, put it out on the table, and take the Sefer Torah and roll it into the Wimpel and keep on rolling it with the Wimpel.
So what is not covered. It's not covered.
That's what the Gemara is telling us. What did he call out Mitpachas? But you got the Sefer Torah. And that's what Rabbi Yanai Saba, Berei Rabbi Yanai Saba, Rabbi Yanai Saba, those are three Rabbi Yanais that are coming to tell us that halacha. And We can learn another two lines. No, don't be nice. Yes, I know, but that's what we have four lines. Two out of four. So, this is the conclusion of the Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that every single Yontif you're supposed to go and lane the laning which is appropriate to the Yontif. And Mishnah, tomorrow we're going to continue on Tanur Rabbanan. Stay tuned for the big stream tomorrow. Now, since it's only 48 minutes, if you would like, we can start a little bit into Moed Katan, and the Mirchem continue tomorrow. Is that a good idea?
Do you want to interrupt the
show? We're going to interrupt it. We're going to go first. Officially, we're going to put